How will San Franciscans fare in a major earthquake? It may depend on what kind of building you live in. And in a KPIX 5 original report, we've learned the city is keeping a list.
They need to be looked at, analyzed to determine the cost benefit, and then some decisions, some hard decisions will have to be made.
And in a repeat of last week, lightning on high-def Doppler. We'll talk about our chances to see some of that here in the Bay Area overnight. I'll go into the details on that coming up.
Plus, vaccine mandates starting to mount. The new rules for state workers and anyone in San Francisco who wants a drink.
Plus, a former U.S. senator attacked in broad daylight in the middle of downtown Oakland.
I said, why would you do this to a grandma? I was yelling at the kid as he was running with my phone.
A new video of a plane crash near Lake Tahoe. We heard from a witness just moments ago.
And right now on the KPIX 5 News at 7, streaming on CBSN Bay Area, we probably won't know for months exactly what caused a deadly condo collapse in Florida. Well, what we do know is that it was an older, concrete, multi-story building. And San Francisco, it has a lot of them. Good evening. I'm Ken Bastida.
I'm Juliette Goodrich in for Elizabeth. Some of those buildings have been a safety concern for years for different reasons, specifically earthquakes. Brian Hackney is here now with an original report. Brian.
Juliette and Ken, there are buildings in San Francisco that experts agree need to be investigated. It's a fact that we have known since a dramatic wake-up call the morning of February 9th, 1971.
Good evening. A powerful earthquake, the most destructive to hit California in 38 years, today struck the city of Los Angeles.
A three-story building simply collapsed, all of it falling into the first floor.
February 1971, 6 a.m. A magnitude 6.5 San Fernando quake was one big surprise that day. The other?
Brand new buildings, like the Sylmar Hospital, collapsed.
This is part of Olive View Sanitarium, a Los Angeles County medical facility.
It was a new but brittle concrete building.
Mexico City, a few years later, same thing.
This 23-story building was designed to meet present Mexican earthquake standards, but it failed to survive.
Northridge, 1994.
Just sliced it down through the 5 freeway.
And same thing over and over and over again.
And San Francisco? San Francisco waits. Packed with thousands of old concrete buildings at risk of collapse in a big quake.
Well, the old ones didn't have enough reinforcing steel, and we're looking here on the roof at quite a few of those buildings. They didn't have enough steel, so they're really not ductile.
Peter Yanov is a longtime structural engineer.
Well, after a big quake, we will likely, unless we fix them, have a number of large building collapses.
It really is a time bomb. Think of the Cypress structure during the 89 earthquake.
They have cars and trucks that are smashed completely.
That would have been non-ductile concrete. I think most people probably are totally blissfully unaware.
Skip Walker is an independent building inspector.
In San Francisco, you'll see city blocks where that's almost all there is these older non-ductile concrete buildings.
Windows broken, buildings collapsed and damaged.
It's a problem the city has been aware of since that day in 1971.
You know, it was a seminal moment for California. We changed all of our codes in response to that earthquake.
And this is Brian Strong of San Francisco City Hall.
Right now, we do have vulnerable concrete, or what we would call low ductility concrete buildings in San Francisco.
But here's what we don't have, a program to actually inspect them and, if they need it, to make them safer. In fact, 50 years on, we don't even know exactly how many of those buildings there are.
Does anybody have an idea
right.
of how big the problem is in the Bay Area?
It's pretty big.
We know there are around 2,700 or so concrete buildings that were built before 1990.
The city has identified about 3,200 buildings that fit their criteria.
50 years on, the city has finally identified and mapped 3,700 concrete buildings with help from the Structural Engineers Association of Northern California.
Part of what we're looking at when we're looking at this inventory is the building occupancy. You know, if it is a multi-family high-density unit, those are structures we want to pay particularly close attention to.
A lot of these purple ones, just to let you know,
yeah,
those are going to be primarily the what they call concrete tilt-up buildings.
Many are concentrated in areas of high-rise apartments and downtown commercial centers.
All the building owners will receive a letter that says you are part of this program, and you'll have a certain time frame to bring an engineer in to complete this checklist.
The city gave us a map crowded with dots, but no addresses.
But despite repeated, and I mean repeated, requests from KPIX, the city has refused to make the list of the buildings public. And guess why?
The money that we're talking about is huge.
It wouldn't make sense for us to ask every property owner that has a concrete building to conduct an expensive evaluation of their building.
This hasn't stopped Los Angeles from implementing its own mandatory inspection and retrofit ordinances. They've identified their buildings at risk, inspected them, and when necessary, ordered retrofits. San Francisco has only finally taken the first step. They've identified suspect buildings, but they still can't decide what to do with information that perhaps hundreds of thousands of people might be living or working in collapse hazards.
You know, I don't think we've made that decision yet.
We know that the buildings are unsafe, at least many of them. They need to be looked at, analyzed, to determine the cost benefit, and then some hard decisions will have to be made.
We can kick the can down the road, obviously, for a long time, but there will be a day of reckoning on this. There will.
When Los Angeles passed its sweeping retrofit ordinance 6 years ago, LA's city mayor said we finally took our head out of the sand. We shall see how it goes here in San Francisco.
Jules. Well, this certainly brought it to our attention. You want to see the list. We're hearing about all of these buildings. So what
is give it to us.
Right.
Ask them.
I know. So what is a homeowner to do? What are the recall?
If you live in one of these multi-story older, it doesn't mean they're all at risk. It just means they probably need looking at. And if you're in one of these multi-story older concrete buildings pre-1980, and you own a condo in one of them, go to the HOA and say, maybe we need to bring in an expert and have it looked at. Alternately, and also, they should call City Hall and say, what are you guys doing about this? Mm-hmm. And we will be on it. We're going to follow up with City Hall as well and say, you've got the list. It should be public knowledge. We asked for it under the Sunshine Act. Still haven't gotten it.
Over 3,000 of these structures in San Francisco right now.
Yes, ones that probably need to be looked at. And that's where it stands.
Scary situation.
Right. Brian, thank you.
You bet.
Well, the other big story that we're following this evening, a chance of thunderstorms on the horizon, and that is not good news for the firefighters unless, you know, we can get some rain out of this thing.
KPIX 5 meteorologist Darren Peck is tracking the radar. Darren.
Big contrast from that view from Chopper 5 we were looking at in one of those windows compared to what's going on across the state as a whole. We haven't seen a whole lot here yet, but there's been a lot of lightning out there today. And this is the possibility for us tonight. We've got our window between about midnight and 11 o'clock. That'd be the most likely time where we might see a few isolated showers, maybe a stray strike of lightning included in this. And of course, that's always the big concern considering how dry the landscape is. Look what's happened in Tahoe over the last few hours. Plenty of lightning strikes, heavy downpours, so much so a flash flood watch has been issued. And as we come back closer to home, we picked up some light showers here that worked their way up 101. We got rain. It was like a hundredth of an inch of rain, but enough that people have said, hey, I got some rain on my windshield. And even though there's some rain with these, which is good, it's not enough rain. And remember, any lightning that comes from these storms is very capable of striking away from the actual rain. And lightning usually wants to hit the highest thing. So even if we got some rain, say, through the valley here, the lightning could still outreach and get onto a mountaintop where there's a lot of dry vegetation and no rain falling. That's the concern. I'll show you what this looks like on the high-resolution forecast coming up in the complete forecast. We're going to spotlight that window after midnight tonight, guys. I'll see you in a bit.
All right, we'll see you then. Thank you, Darren. Crews battling California's largest wildfire could use a break from the weather. The Dixie Fire still growing after destroying more than a dozen homes over the weekend. It now covers nearly 310 square miles in both Butte and Plumas counties. That is about the size of San Jose, Fremont, and San Francisco put together, with containment at just 22%. More than 8,000 people remain under evacuation orders, but not everyone is heeding them. One man we found defied the evacuation order to defend his property and take care of his livestock.
It's very stressful, scary at times. Last night there was, you could see the glow of that hill right there. and firefighters put it out or knocked it down, you know, to where all of a sudden the glow is gone, and I was just relieved.
And we have some new time-lapse video here demonstrates why it's so important to get out when you're told to get out, or even before. PG&E Alert wildfire camera was rolling on Indian Ridge as the Dixie Fire burned over it on Saturday. It only took an hour from when the flames first appeared. That's moving fast. Developing now, just minutes ago, we got dramatic video of a plane crash. This is near Lake Tahoe. Authorities say a twin-engine business jet tried to land at the Truckee Tahoe Airport. It crashed near the golf course there, went up in flames, and sparked a fire.
It went down, looked like it was going down on its nose and left wing. I don't know if it flipped on over or landed like that. Then a huge explosion of fire and smoke, and that was it.
Yeah, no word yet on where that plane was coming from, how many people were aboard, but investigators say no one survived.
Starting Thursday, you will need to show your vaccine card and your ID to belly up to more than 300 San Francisco bars. That's the word today from the San Francisco Bar Alliance.
We really just looked at the data and said this is the best way to protect our staff and their families. I don't care what Joe Rogan says. The data does not lie. And we're looking right at it. An unvaccinated person is much more likely to contract and spread the Delta variant than a vaccinated person.
Customers can also show a negative COVID test taken within 72 hours. Patrons who can't provide either will still be served, but only outdoors. And starting August 2nd, all state employees, about a quarter million of them, will be required to show proof of vaccination or undergo weekly testing. The same rule will apply to California's 2 million healthcare workers starting August 9th.
Take a look at downtown Oakland tonight, where police are investigating a brazen midday robbery. The victim, former U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer. She says that she was walking in Oakland's Jack London Square just after 1 this afternoon when someone violently shoved her in the back, stole her cell phone, and then jumped into a waiting car. The 80-year-old former senator is okay, but she told our Da Lin she's angry.
I'm not hurt physically at all. I'm just shook up. And I said to them after this, I said, why would you do this to a grandma? I was yelling at the kid as he was running with my phone. I said, I want to call my grandkids. Why are you doing this?
If you think that's brazen, you'll want to see this new video we just obtained from inside a San Francisco Walgreens.
And there's a new plan to get Bay Area transit back on track, and it's going to be a scheduling nightmare.
And if you've heard of COVID brain, now we're learning about the link between the virus and your IQ.